Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
We've come to the end of another memorable week for Forex markets. And here on Forex Fridays, we're going to take stock, first and foremost, of the dollar's sudden strength after the release of the Federal Reserve's minutes from their latest policy meeting. And we saw the dollar actually take some significant strength. This is also seen happen against the backdrop of safe havens continuing to find favor, and perhaps just a couple of question marks raised about currencies in the Oceanian region. Of course, we're talking about the Aussie and New Zealand dollar for the most part. So quite a bit to tackle actually today on Forex Fridays. And once again, we're joined by Mr. Han Tan, the Chief Market Analyst for Ixitity, who's joining us on the line to help us recap the week that was and what the week ahead might hold for some of the currencies that made some of the biggest ripples in Forex markets this week. Han, thanks so much for joining us. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health during these times. And welcome back to the show, sir. Happy Friday, I hope.
Happy Friday. And certainly looking forward to this chat.
All right. And, you know, as we mentioned, the last 24 hours were rather memorable, actually, and saw talk revolve around tapering in the U.S. quite significantly. The minutes of the Fed showing that officials are becoming more open to trimming their asset purchases before the year ends. And as we saw, the U.S. dollar got a significant boost, actually. But how sustainable is this, actually, given the fact that a number of Forex analysts and strategists have actually said that that any boost to the dollar might actually be a bit short-lived? What are your thoughts on this, sir?
Well, I actually think this is sustainable, you know, as long as the Fed doesn't make any abrupt turns and back away from their tapering plans, right? To be clear, that could be a risk because if, let's say, the Delta variant really hinders the U.S. economic reopening, we are seeing headlines about Americans needing booster shots, right? And I think this is where the incoming data, especially around the U.S. labor market and even inflation, I think that's key because if, say, the next two non-farm payrolls prints really don't meet the criteria of quote-unquote substantial further progress, right, that the Fed demands, then we could see that kind of slack translating into the dollar unwinding some of its recent gains. And likewise with inflation as well, right? If it proves transitory as the Fed expects, that could be one less reason for them to hasten any tapering plans. But I think overall, again, as long as the Fed continues to lead into that hawkish stance, and I think more importantly, if Chair Powell actually then joins the hawkish camp as well, I think that would really support the case for more upside for the U.S. dollar.
A number of them, though, have highlighted that it's all going to depend on the economic recovery. And we have seen the Delta variant of COVID really start to pose some serious questions as every week goes by. I don't have to remind you, given you've also seen this happen up there in Kuala Lumpur, the rest of the region is very aware of this as well. Do you think that Delta might be the only thing that stands in between a potential tapering and the dollar's corresponding strength?
I think that's the primary lens that the risks are filtered through, you know, because we only just got to look at the examples out of China and even New Zealand this week, right, about how the Delta variant really pays no heed to even the most optimistic outlooks or the most hawkish stances, right? But on the flip side, the risk aversion that could emanate from the Delta's threat to the economic reopening narrative, I think that risk aversion would also be another tailwind for the dollar, as we have seen in the past couple of months or so, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, long story short, the dollar is it does find itself in a tremendously supportive environment.
Now, the resurgence of Delta has posed a lot of questions to the economic recovery in the Oceanian region, and I want to shift our focus to those particular currencies. And really, Han, few currencies have seen their fortunes and outlook turn sour as quickly as the Australian dollar. I believe it's fallen around that 70 US cents per Aussie range at the moment. There are some signs, though, that the currency may be oversold. What is your latest prognosis on the Australian dollar? Has it taken enough of a beating, or do you think that these uncertainties brought about by COVID and its impact on the economy might weigh on that currency even more?
Yeah, so from a technical perspective, it is oversold. For example, it's broken below its lower Bollinger Band. And if you look at the 14-day RSI, that's the relative strength index, that's also below 30 as well. And when it crosses below that 30 line, it denotes oversold conditions as well. So Yes, it does come across as oversold. You know, but still, you do have, I mean, keep in mind, you've got the case for the stronger greenback on one side that we just discussed earlier. And then on the other side, you know, you've got an economy that's still grappling with a Delta variant, right? We just found out lockdowns have been extended in Sydney until end September. So you know, despite the unemployment data that we got recently out of Australia, you know, if these lockdowns persist, that's only going to erode the jobs picture in Australia. And that could in turn then really defy the RBA's surprise hawkish message that we heard earlier this month, you know, saying they intend to stick to their tapering plans. Well, you know, judging by how the Aussie dollar is doing, markets, I don't think, are really buying into that message. You know, so I think overall, as long as these lockdowns persist in Australia, I think that's going to mean more of a downward bias for the Aussie. Sure, in the near term, there could be some relief from oversold conditions, but I think that upside is very much capped as long as those lockdowns are still in place.
All right. And we want to shift our attention now across the Tasman Sea there to the New Zealand dollar. We seldom talk about this currency, Han, but I remember you were telling me before the interview that this might be of interest. We have heard from Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern that they are going to extend the lockdown there because of that single COVID case, and they're expecting higher cases there. We heard from the Reserve Bank of New Zealand that they're also not going to raise rates, or did not raise rates at least earlier this week. And currently we're seeing the Kiwi at least starting to fall even more. Tell us, what's your latest take on how much worse it can get? Can it get for the NZD?
Yeah, so I think it's very much contingent on the duration of the lockdown. So the good news is that look, New Zealand went in hard and early with the lockdowns even after that first index case, right? So if we see a similar scenario play out from last year, whereby you know the lockdown was swift and the economy's rebound would be swift as well, at least that's the narrative. But again, if you consider how much the New Zealand dollar has weakened against the US dollar this week, I think there's a fair amount of skepticism in the market. So even though the RBNZ has actually come out to say that, look, rate hikes are still on the table, they've got two more meetings. But if you look at the futures pricing, if you compare it from Monday, for example, before the lockdown was announced, markets have priced in two hikes by the RBNZ by year end, right? But right now, as we speak, it's down to one in November. So there are doubts being cast about a rate hike in October, right? So I think, you know, there is still this big gaping unknown about the Delta variant and how long the lockdown could last. You know, theoretically and based on past precedents, you would think that New Zealand should fare better and the RBNZ can get back to its policy normalizing plans sooner than Australia. But again, you know, I think the Delta variant will have its say about how these currencies perform, really.
All right, we'll soon be to Han Tan, Chief Market Analyst at Exidity here on Forex Fridays, talk about the week that was in the currency space. And, you know, Han, with the talk of the Fed possibly tapering their asset purchases, a lot of attention has also been given to the ECB in Europe, also seeming that they're going to stand pat at least with holding on to their bond buying program. And the euro has been very interesting to watch recently, not just losing ground against the greenback, but also against some of these safe havens like the Swiss franc and the Japanese yen. What do you think has been weighing on the euro this week more so? And do you think that the euro might still be on this downward trajectory, or this a path of softness in the next couple of weeks?
So, and I'm glad you highlighted the performance of the euro against those safe haven currencies, right? Because what we're seeing is a clear risk-off mood that has affected multiple asset classes. We're seeing that play out not just in the FX markets, but of course in stocks and even our precious metals as well, right? So, we are seeing the euro dollar right now as we speak finding some support at key technical levels. But I think looking further out, I think 116 flat is still within reach. And that would call into action some really key support levels in that region that we saw from September and November last year. But again, I think ultimately the key driver here is also that divergence between the central banks, right? So you've got those seemingly hawkish tones coming out of the Fed, as we saw in the minutes released this week, and then the ECB that's still patient and not wanting to repeat the same mistakes from previous administrations, where they don't want to be seen to be tightening too early, right? So if the ECB is seen to be lagging in this quest to normalize policy settings, I think that leaves the euro also at risk of lagging its G10 peers.
And very quickly, Han, I want to ask you how closely you're monitoring the Chinese yuan. Now, we've seen macro data from China show signs of the economy there softening. And more investors, both foreign and onshore, are becoming more averse given the crackdown by regulators. We've seen fund outflows and more of these institutional investors starting to question the viability of Chinese markets. But should yuan investors, those in the renminbi, actually be worried about some of these particular developments in the equity space and also with regards to macro data from China? How worried should folks be, or should they be at all?
Yeah, look, the yuan certainly has to be watched closely, right, given how reliant our region is on China from an economic perspective, and of course the correlation between the yuan and the major Asian currencies, right, including the ringgit and the Singapore dollar. So, look, I think the headwinds should keep this currency pair, dollar-yuan, right, above its 200-day simple moving average for the time being, which now is at around 6.5. Again, especially if you consider the Fed moving closer to tapering on one hand, that could translate into more of a suppressed performance on the yuan against the dollar. Although, to be fair, if you stack up the yuan against its trading partners, its 24 main trading partners, that currency basket actually reached its highest in 2016. And as a matter of fact, it's still one of two Asian currencies that can still lay claim to a year-to-date gain against the dollar, right? So I think overall, once these headwinds dissipate that you mentioned, right, be the regulatory uncertainties or those virus curbing measures there, or the concerns around the moderating global recovery. I think once those headwinds dissipate, then that could help the yuan unwind recent losses.
All right, Han Tan, Chief Market Analyst from Exidity, thank you so much for joining us today on Forex Fridays. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these very uncertain times. We look forward to the next time you can join us on the show. Meanwhile, try to have a great weekend ahead, sir.
Well, thank you very much for your kind words, and likewise, best wishes to you guys as well.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO, available on Google Play or the App Store.